Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air.
Hey, on today's program, my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, he's joined by a great guest. Let's get started.
On today's broadcast, I'm joined by a special guest who leads one of the fastest-growing churches in America, Pastor Sean Johnson. Sean has been the lead pastor of Red Rocks Church in Denver, Colorado, since it began in 2005, and it has since expanded to 9 campuses across Colorado and Austin, Texas, Brussels, Belgium, and even inside Colorado State prisons. He's passionate about seeing lives transformed by the Word of God and, as he puts it, making heaven more crowded. His brand new book, Kiss the Fire, 7 Ways to Get Back Up When You Want to Give Up, releases October 14th, and that's exactly what we'll be unpacking together today. I'm excited for this conversation, so let's get started. Sean, my friend, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you for having me.
This new book, Kiss the Fire. Sean, what was it that God really ignited in your heart, and why write that book for such a time as this?
Oh, great question. So about 3 years ago, I had tore my bicep wake surfing with my small group. That's why I'm always a little on edge when they have new activities for us. I was doing rehab, and my arm and hand were shaking a little bit. And the therapist was like, oh, that's just atrophy. You know, you've been in a brace for so many weeks. And that continued for a while. And one day she recommended I see a neurologist. And I thought, well, that's weird, but okay. And so I thought I had like a pinched nerve in my neck. And so anyways, I went to this neurologist. They're like, oh, let's do some tests, some scans, you know, no big deal. And went back with my wife. And again, thinking he's going to tell me I had a pinched nerve, and told me I have an incurable brain disease. And man, that was a shock, to say the least. Really rocked me. My wife's way stronger than I am. But you know, you kind of hear those stories of people going, yeah, my life changed in a doctor's appointment. We felt that. And just, you know, you just never think that's going to be you. I came back home. And just started to do what I kind of do really well when things get bad. I isolate, throw pity parties, and get mad at God and the whole thing. And one of the guys in my small group, actually, he owns a UFC gym. He's a Hall of Fame to be UFC coach, just a stud of a guy. And he called me, and he's like, you know, what's going on? And I told him, and he goes, well, he said, we're going to kiss this fire, and we're going to walk away whistling. And I was like, coach, that sounds great. I don't really know what that means. And he said, I'm not saying it's not going to be hot. And I'm not saying it's not going to burn a little bit. But we're going to get through this. And this is not going to take your joy. This is not going to take your calling. This is not going to change who you are as a man, a husband, a father, a pastor, everything. He's like, and we're going to get through this. And you're going to be stronger when you get through it on the other side. And then he's like, I'm going to be with you every step of the way. And so that phrase, kiss the fire, has kind of become a bit of a mantra for me. And it's really this idea of life gets really hard for all of us at certain times. And in those moments, we kind of have to decide, do I curse it or do I decide, no, I'm going through it. I'm going to kiss this fire. Do I walk away from God? I think a lot of us are tempted to do that. Do I stop trusting God? Or do I go, no, I'm going to get back up. I'm going to keep trusting God. And I'm going to believe that God meant what he said in Galatians 6:9, when he said, if you don't grow weary in doing good, there will be a time when you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. And so I believe with all my heart that there's going to be a day that for all of us, no matter what the thing is right now that we're dealing with, if we don't give up, there'll be this day when we get to look back and go, and thank God I didn't give up, because look what God has done. And so that's where the title came from. And so I wanted to explain that, because one of the fears of mine that I've been talking with the publisher about is like, no one's going to know what this title means. But we all love the title and the meaning behind it so much that we're like, man, let's just run with it. And hopefully people will get the message.
What a powerful word, right? Kiss the fire, because we're going to come out whistling on the other side. You know, I've done a lot of research. I actually wrote my dissertation on the topic of resilience and human flourishing. And I've read a lot of, you know, probably nearly 1,000 literature-based articles just on what does it really look like to be resilient. And I'll never forget, in one of the hardest moments of my life, and this is something I really appreciate and value about you, Sean, all of us here at the American Association of Christian Counselors, we are right an organization that stands, that really tries to bridge the gap between ministry and mental health, and to have a pastor who's willing to go there and to be vulnerable and to talk about the challenges and the seasons of suffering that you've endured, it's rare. And to be honest with you, sometimes you're probably viewed as an anomaly, and we value that so much. But I remember in a dark season in my life, I was probably in what I would say the closest thing to a pit of despair that I've ever come up against. And just so many uncertainty, doubt, frustration, discouragement. And I remember coming across an article, and you'll get this as a Colorado guy, talking about the imagery of this storm that's coming, billowing over top of the mountains, and how there are certain animals, the cows and the sheep and the goats, that will try to run in the opposite direction. But, you know, Rich Froning, he kind of coined the term into the storm, how the buffalo will naturally stick its foot in the ground and run into the face of adversity. And I think what you're alluding at and what you hit so hard in this book is that so many of us, we try to outrun the painful seasons that we experience in this life, but we can't outrun them because they're always coming. One thing we can do, though, is we can learn how to outlast them. That's what I appreciate about you. That's why I appreciate about this book, about your sermons, about your messaging, that, hey, pain is inevitable, but it's what we choose to do with that pain that matters most. Sean, in your experiences personally, but also professionally, what have you found resilience really to be all about in your understanding?
Everyone in my small group, we all have like pictures of buffalo in our offices, and a lot of times in our group text, it'll end with the little icon of the buffalo, and that's kind of something we you know talk about often. And I used to picture like life almost, I don't know if it's like mountain range because I'm in Colorado or roller coaster, but it's like, you know, Jesus says, you know, came to give you life to the fullest and things are great. And then it's like, but he also said there will be trouble and things are bad. And it you know, life kind of goes like this. And I think for me, at least, what I've had to realize for myself is I used to go, well, you know, which one is it, Jesus? Do we get life to the fullest and this is abundant life, or do we have life with troubles? And I think the answer is, yep, we get both. And so now I kind of see life more like train tracks. We do have troubles. That's just part of being broken people in a broken world, but we also can have life to the fullest. But I think we're supposed to be able to have them at the same time. For me, it was, in fact, the phrase I kept thinking about when I decided to write the book was, how to live really well even when life really hurts. Because I think that's the promise of Jesus. It's not that there won't be storms or won't be valleys, but you know, God's promises is I'll be with you and I'll get you through them. And there is peace and joy and purpose to be had if you'll face them, like what you said, and run into them instead of just spending, I think a lot of us spend our whole lives trying to run away from uncomfortability and pain.
You know, as you're mentioning all of these things, a couple words really come to my mind, and it's, you know, versatility, it's flexibility. But the one, I haven't really come across a concrete definition. I think we all have unique definitions for what resilience really means, what it looks like to us personally. You know, definitely not a single definition that I've seen across all of the articles, but the common theme is, It's positive adaptation in the presence of adversity. So like you said, when adversity naturally comes into our lives, how do we learn to adapt to the highs and the lows of life and remain consistent throughout? And you know, when I'm thinking about just your story and your personal journeys, when I'm thinking about the diagnosis and that changes your life, when I'm thinking about the mental health challenges that so many people endure, I would love to ask you, as a pastor who speaks so openly about these concepts and about these topics, when a lot of people will shy away, when a lot of people kind of differentiate psychology and theology, you lean into that and you embrace that and you help people understand that, hey, it's not something to be ashamed of to suffer. It's not something to be ashamed of to doubt or to have anxiety or to have depression or maybe to be on medication. Speak to what that understanding has done for you, Sean, and just the way that you lead people in the congregation that God has blessed you enough to steward and shepherd.
About 6 years ago, I'd been the senior pastor of Red Rocks Church for about 14 years at the time. I started having really bad panic attacks. And they were coming sometimes multiple times a day, but almost daily. And they got so bad, I couldn't function. My wife was taking me to the emergency room. I was pulling over my car on the side of the road to get out because I couldn't breathe. I ended up going to 7 weeks of inpatient anti-anxiety therapy and counseling, and had to take several months off work. And I was just super I was embarrassed, because I think as guys especially, we just always want people to think we're a little stronger than we are. And I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed that I was a pastor. I thought maybe I shouldn't be a pastor. Maybe I'm a fraud, because I talk about a God who gives us peace and joy, but I don't feel like I have him. So anyways, I went through all that, and I was going to come back to the church, and I was like, man, what exactly do I share with the church? Like, do I really tell them how screwed up I am, that I do deal with anxiety and depression? At that point, I was feeling better and healthier and stronger than I was, you know, several months before, but definitely still not perfect. And pastors would say things to me like, well, be careful how much you share with the church, you know, because you don't want them to lose faith in you. I don't do well at just not talking about what's really going on in my life. And I talked to one pastor right before I went back to the church, and I told him what I had been advised. And so I went back to the church, and my first day back, I told him everything. I told him about the panic attacks, about the anxiety, the depression. I had multiple bouts with wanting to take my own life in that season. I told him about that. I told him about everything. And at the end of it, I said, I'm way better than I was, but I'm still broken. And if you want, if you'll have me as a pastor, even though I'm broken, I'm in, but I just want you to know where we're at. And I thought maybe the church crumbles at this point. Maybe the church goes away. I think the church doubled. It was the craziest thing. And I found so many people. I didn't see this coming. I found so many people that were like, man, thank you. Because I think a lot of us feel alone, especially the mental illness stuff. We often think, nobody will understand me. Nobody else will get it. It's just me. And when I started talking about it, I didn't plan to be the pastor who talked about mental health stuff. I was just trying to be honest with the church with what I was going through. But what we found is it just really gave people, I think, a lot of freedom to go, man, I'm not the only one. And for me, it was absolute freedom, because I had been hiding it for years. I hadn't had panic attacks at that level, but I had had anxiety and depression for years. And I would share little bits and pieces with the church or little bits and pieces with my family as much as I thought I had to, but I never told them all of it. I never told them how bad it really was. And it was that kind of suffering by myself that allowed it to get to the level that it did. And so it was really freeing for me to be able to just be honest about it. And what I didn't see coming is how it would help other people.
Sean, as you unpack this book. You talk about seven strategies for resilience. You mentioned killing the lies, running to God, choosing who's in your corner, getting in the people business, deciding to live today, dreaming again. But this one really stuck out to me: remembering past fires. And I think that remembrance is a huge part of resilience, because that's where you go back and you say, you know what, like I've been in darkness, I've been in difficult seasons before, but I've gotten out on the other side. I serve the same God who's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, a God who's done it before, and of course he's the God who can do it again. And so even in the midst when you're experiencing a diagnosis, or when you get that phone call, or when you're in a horrible relationship, or all of a sudden you feel like you're hopeless and helpless, we've never run out of hope. Sometimes we've just lost perspective. Sean, speak to the importance of remembrance and maybe some scriptures that you cling to in the midst of the fiery furnace that you're continuing to navigate.
100%. A story that has always fascinated me is when the nation of Israel, you know, Moses dies and Joshua is about to take the nation of Israel across the Jordan into the promised land. And he does this miracle and they get across, they get to the other side, this promised land that, you know, their parents have been telling them about. The inclination had to be that, like, just take off. Like, we're here. Let's celebrate. And God's like, no, time out. Go back in the middle of the river before I bring the waters back together. Go back and pick up 12 stones and come build a memorial. And there's a part in there where he says, and when your kids ask, why'd you guys do this? Why'd you stack up a bunch of boulders on this side of the Jordan River? He said, you remind your kids of what your God did, that I got you through something that you shouldn't have been able to get through. And it's interesting because, you know, they were promised the promised land, but what they didn't know is they were going to go have to fight 31 battles to take hold of it. And so I just see the goodness of God going, hey, build this memorial so that when you get to battle one, you go, wait a sec, why have you forsaken me, God? I'm never going to get through this. He goes, no, look back. If I got you through that, I'll get you through this one. When you get to battle two, when you get to battle three, that's what I'm doing right now with this diagnosis. I'm going, man, I can look back at my life and I can show you many times where I did not think I was going to make it through, or someone in that position should not have made it through. And I go, yeah, but he got me through that. And you're right. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he got me through that, he'll get me through this. And so sometimes remembering the past fires that he's brought me through is what gives you the strength to get back up and keep going, to kiss the fire that you're in, so to speak.
Yeah. One of my favorite passages in all of Scripture is Daniel chapter 3 with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? And they offer us that three-tiered prayer. Not only do we believe that our God is able, but we are confident that he will deliver us from your majesty's hand, from whatever you might be going through in this life. But even if he does not, right, we will not bow down and worship your gods or the image of gold you've set up before us. Even if, right, the diagnosis doesn't work out in that favor, even if things don't go my way, even if I don't get out of life what I was hoping or expecting or praying or preparing to get out of it, I'm going to stay true to my faith and to the standard that God has placed within me rather than succumbing to the expectations, opinions, or circumstances around me. It's that mentality of resilience that is rooted in relationship with God and remembrance of who God truly is. Sean, I want to ask you this because you've been very vulnerable with us and our audience today just about some of the things you've gone through, some of the things you're continuing to walk through. How can we personally be praying for you as you continue to navigate not just the diagnosis, but every day learning to lead in the face of adversity, in the face of challenge? How can we be praying for you, my friend?
Oh, that's so kind. Thank you for asking. I'd love you to pray that God does a miracle. I pray for a miraculous healing in my brain every day, or almost every day. I think for all of us, I think what makes perseverance, back to something you said way earlier, so powerful is that it's not a one-time decision. It's sometimes it's a daily decision or a monthly decision. Some days it's a minute-to-minute decision that I'm just not going to give up, and I am going to trust God. And I'm going to trust God on the days where it feels like trusting God makes sense. And I'm going to trust God on the days where it feels like Nothing makes sense.
We will most definitely be praying, not just for your health, but that God would continue to sustain you and equip you with perseverance for the days and the months and the years ahead. I want to ask you this, because this is always how I love to close these conversations with our guest, is really just by allowing you to share a pressing word that God has placed on your heart as we depart from one another. And I'm thinking about the audience member out there today, Pastor Sean, who is struggling. They're struggling with doubt. They're struggling with challenge and difficulty, but discouragement and despair. They're disappointed with the way that things currently are in their life. What's one final word of hope, encouragement, and motivation that you would want to leave that person with today?
I would just say, don't you dare give up. If you have any church or Bible background, whatever your favorite story is, it's your favorite story because there was a really hard time to be persevered through. Every great story. I think it's why we love, you know, comeback movies. Like, we just understand there's something in us that just realizes, like, there's something powerful when somebody can get through something really hard and then get to the other side of it and do something purposeful and meaningful with it. And I would say, don't you dare give up, because God is working, even if you can't see it. He does have a plan, even if you don't know what that is right now. And there will be a day, if you don't give up, there will be a day when you will look back and go, oh my gosh, I did not see this coming, but look what God has done. And you'll end up looking back at this moment, whatever this is, and you'll almost, in a weird way, be thankful that you went through it because of what God will do through your life, because you did go through it and chose not to give up. So that would be my message to anyone who's hurting, is God is with you. God is good. God is working. Don't give up. Because one of these days you will see that harvest, and it will have been worth it.
Amen. Your hardest season can become your harvest season. So never, ever, ever give up. God may not have caused the pain, but I promise He will carry you through. Pastor Sean, my friend, where can our audience go to find out more about you, maybe to watch a sermon or two, but also to pick up a copy of this new book that releases October 14th? I'm sure there's a pre-order of Kiss the Fire.
Yeah. It's available now on pre-order pretty much anywhere you get books, you know, Amazon, wherever. RedRocksChurch.com is our church's website. All of our stuff's on YouTube. If you want to watch messages or kind of see what we're about.
Pastor Sean Johnson, my friend, thank you just for your time, for your willingness to join us for, I think, a meaningful conversation today. I hope you know, at the American Association of Christian Counselors, thank you for speaking so openly and boldly about the topics of mental health, even from a pulpit, but also just for your vulnerability in saying yes and your obedience to God's call that He's placed on your life to steward and to shepherd others. You're a blessing, my friend. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
I'm Dr. Tim Clinton with the American Association of Christian Counselors with your Mental Health Minute. Everyone experiences trouble in life. We all face seasons of sorrow, grief, relational pain, and more. In fact, studies show now that 20 to 25% of people experience a diagnosable mental disorder in their lifetime. Sadly, the church has too often remained silent about mental illness. The silence creates stigma and shame, and it adds to the suffering. But there's good news. Mental health professionals now offer more effective care than they ever have before. And when Christian counselors integrate emotional, relational, and mental health anchored in God's word and spiritual wisdom, people are finding real help, hope, and healing. You know, we're all broken in some way. Let's care for one another in the most loving, effective ways possible, because the Lord, He's in the midst of it. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. This has been your Mental Health Minute. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors and co-host of Life, Love, Faith, and Family. To learn more, go to aacc.net.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, We offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.